Bom dia a todos. Obrigada por
Good
aguardarem.
morning, everyone, and thank you for
Sejam bem-vindos à
waiting.
teleconferência da Magalu
Welcome
referente
to
aos resultados
Magalu's conference
trimestrais.
call related to
Para
the
aqueles que
quarterly
precisarem de
results.
tradução
For those of you
simultânea,
who need
basta clicar
simultaneous
no botão
translation, just
Interpretation
click in the
através do ícone do
interpretation
globo na
icon in
parte
the
inferior
bottom
da tela
of the
e escolher o idioma
platform
de preferência,
and then choose the
inglês ou
language of your
português.
choice, English or
Informamos que
Portuguese.
este evento está
We would
sendo
like to
gravado e
inform you that
será
this event is being
disponibilizado no site
recorded,
de RI da
and the
companhia
recording will be available
no endereço
on the company's IR website at
ri.magazineluiza.com.br, onde lá se encontram a
ir.magazineluiza.com.br,
release de resultados e a
where the
apresentação.
earnings release and the
Ambos são versões
presentation
português
is
e
also
inglês.
available
O
in
link
both
para a
languages.
apresentação em inglês
The link
também está
for the
disponível no
presentation
chat.
in English is also
Durante a
available
apresentação,
through the
todos os
chat
participantes
button.
estarão com os
During the
microfones
presentation,
desabilitados.
all the
Em
participants
seguida,
will have their
daremos início à
microphones
sessão de
disabled.
perguntas e respostas.
And next, we
Para
will
fazer
open the
perguntas,
Q&A
clique no ícone
session.
de Q&A
For
na
questions,
parte
just
inferior de
click
sua
on the
tela.
Q&A
Escreva seu
icon in
nome
the
e
bottom of the
empresa e
platform,
idioma da
write down
pergunta.
your name and the name of your
Ao ser
company and the
anunciado,
language of the
uma
question.
solicitação para ativar seu
Once your name
microfone
is
aparecerá
announced,
na
the
tela
request to
e então
activate
você
your
deve ativar o
microphone will
microfone
appear
para
in the
seguir com a
screen and then
pergunta.
you must activate your
As
microphone
perguntas
to proceed
recebidas
with
por
the
escrito
question.
serão respondidas
Questions received in
posteriormente pelo
writing
time de
will be
relações
answered
emitidas.
later on by
Gostaria
our
agora
investor
de passar a
relations
palavra ao
team.
Fred Trajano,
Now I'll
CEO da
turn the
Magalu.
floor
Por
to
favor,
Fred
Fred, pode começar.
Trajano, Magalu CEO. You may begin, Fred.
Bom dia a todos.
Good morning,
Muito
everyone.
obrigado por participarem do nosso call de
Thank
resultados
you very
referentes
much for
ao
joining us
terceiro tri
today
de 2024.
in our conference
Acho
call
que
to
um
discuss
tri que tem uma importância simbólica
the third quarter
enorme
results
do
of
ponto de vista
2024.
de
This
ratificar o
has a
progresso
very
do
symbolic
nosso atual ciclo
significance because it
estratégico.
rectifies the
E com
advance
isso,
of
queria
our
justamente
current
começar o
strategic
nosso call
cycle.
dando um
And with that, I would
contexto
like to
um
start
pouco
our
mais amplo do que o nosso
earnings
resultado do
release
terceiro
call,
tri, falando
giving you a
justamente
broader
dos nossos
concept
ciclos
about our
estratégicos.
results. And I will refer
No
to
ano
our
que vem, 2025,
strategic cycles.
a
Next
atual
year,
gestão, eu sou o
2025.
CEO,
In the
tenho
current
saudade de estar
administration,
liderança,
I am
está
the
comigo desde
CEO and I
o início
work
dessa jornada,
together
em
with the
2016.
leadership that they
Vai
have
completar
been with
10
me
anos
since the beginning of this
à
journey
frente
in
da grande
2016.
corporação
So
da
we
Magalu.
will
Eu
celebrate
tenho
10
uma
years ahead
filosofia,
of
uma
Magalu's
característica de
operations.
gostar de
And my
ter ciclos
style
estratégicos
as such that I
plurianuais,
like to
então
have
deixar
by
bem claro qual que é o
or
objetivo de
pluriannual
momento dos
strategies,
ciclos
just to
estratégicos,
make
além
very
disso,
clear
simplesmente do orçamento
about
do ano.
what our strategic
Eu divido,
objectives are.
esses 10
And so,
anos,
and
um
I
quadro que um
split
deles vai
these 10
completar
years, I mean,
no final do
part
ano
of
que
that
vem,
cycle
em
will
dois
be
ciclos
concluded at the end of
estratégicos que eu coloquei aqui
next
nos
year.
primeiros
So I
slides
would
da
like
nossa
to divide that
apresentação,
in
que é o
two
ano 3.
strategic cycles,
O
and
primeiro deles
they
é a
are depicted
digitalização
on
da Magalu,
slide
quando
three.
eu
And the
assumi a
first
companhia
cycle
em
is
2016
Magalu's
como CEO.
digitalization.
É,
When
o
I
meu
took
mandato,
over as a
como
CEO of the
gerido pelo
company back
Conselho
in
de Administração do
2016,
Magalu, era de
my
fazer a
mandate
digitalização do Magalu.
involved
Tinha começado eu
digitalizing
pessoalmente o
Magalu.
e-commerce do Magalu já em
We
2015,
had
16
started
anos aí de
back in
experiência na área.
2020,
E o
back
Magalu
in
queria fazer
2000,
uma
and
digitalização
Magalu
significativa das
wanted
suas
to
operações, já
promote a very
prevendo,
significant digitalization of its
que a
operations,
digitalização do
already
comércio, sobretudo do
anticipating
varejo,
that digitalization of
no
the
Brasil ia
retail
acontecer de maneira
industry in Brazil
significativa,
would
nos
be
próximos anos,
very
mas
impacting and
mais
very
trazendo nas
significant in the
categorias
years
no
to
qual
come, but
Magalu
more particularly in the
mais
categories where
tradicional, como
Magalu
categorias de dor
was
produtos, essa
more
digitalização já
traditional,
aconteceu.
like
E, de fato,
durable
hoje, quando a
goods.
gente olha o
And
mercado,
if, in fact, today, when you
embora
look at the
apenas
market,
15%
even
do
though
varejo
only
total brasileiro, mais de
15%
3
of the
trilhões de reais
of
de comércio
Brazil's
digital,
total
está
retail, more than
online.
3
É
trillion
50% da
BRLs of
população
total
das categorias
retail is
tradicionais. Então, a
online.
gente
You know,
precisava,
it's
naquele momento,
50%
fazer
penetration in traditional
ao longo
categories.
a
Therefore,
digitalização. E eu recebi
there
esse
came the
mapa,
time for us
esse
to
mandato, junto
take a
com a equipe
deeper
que eu tinha,
dive into
de começar esse
digitalization. And
processo.
so
Foi
we
assim
took
que a
upon
gente
ourselves
fez,
to initiate
nos
that
cinco
process.
anos seguintes
And I
de minha
think in the five
nomeação,
years that
um
follow
dos
that,
processos mais bem-sucedidos de digitalização de uma
we
empresa de varejo tradicional
ramped
hoje
up
do
one of the
mundo.
most successful
Magalu hoje
digitalization
é qual
process
eu
in the
me
world.
consolidei
Magalu, if you fast forward to the
portanto,
current date,
vamos terminar o
we
ano com algo
have,
próximo de
I mean, at
50%
the
de
end of the
venda
year,
online,
we will have about
segunda maior
50
operação
million of
online do
MV
Brasil,
online, the
independente
second
se retirar
online
da terceira,
operation in Brazil. We
que é,
are
se você
far
olhar a nível
ahead when you
mundial,
compare
uma
to
das
number
poucas
three in
empresas
this
que vem
category.
de um background analógico,
Worldwide,
né,
we
que
are one of
acompanha
the
o
few
início e líder
companies that
no
started
segmento de
analog,
e-commerce
and
do
we
seu
are
próprio
leaders
país,
in
tá?
the
Temos uma China
e-commerce segment in the
empresa
country.
que veio do tradicional,
In
seja em Shanghai,
China,
nem na
I mean,
Índia,
we
nem nos
have
Estados Unidos.
traditional, not even in China or
São
in
países
India,
onde
not
nós
even in the
temos empresas
US, we
pure
get
play.
companies like that. These are
Eu acho que
companies,
esse ciclo
countries
se
dominated
concluiu
by pure play
em
companies.
2020,
I
quando
believe this
a
cycle was
gente,
concluded in 2020.
mesmo com That's when, even with the closing of 1,300 stores because of the pandemic, that year alone we grew 70%. So 100% online was our total growth. So back then we showed concrete numbers to justify and ratify the fact that that cycle of Magalu digitalization was very successful. 2020 was a year where we concluded the digitalization cycle. So Magalu is now totally digital. And so what would come next? That's when, very much inspired by the Chinese model. So the first cycle was inspired by Silicon Valley, and the second cycle was inspired by the Chinese models. That's when we started to consolidate our digital Magalu ecosystem. Now, in economic terms, just to justify that strategic cycle, we focus on the digitalization of the results of the company. In the first cycle, we digitalized Magalu, but we haven't yet diversified the bottom line of the company. So in the second cycle, in my view, had to be a cycle that we had to implement so that our results wouldn't be so cyclical. I knew that in the first cycle, digitalization alone, I mean, we had reduced a little bit of the volatility because, you know, the physical cycle is not as cyclical, but the results were still very much dependent on durable goods and also loans related to durable goods. So there came the time to turn the key and do something different. And back in 2021, we started that cycle, and the cycle is to be concluded in 2025. So next slide. We made several acquisitions, more than 20 acquisitions, in addition to organic growth. And we started to put together our ecosystem. We bought 5 logistic companies, and I'll talk about some of them. We also acquired some fintechs, and they became now Magalu Bank. We also acquired some tech companies. Today, we are consolidating them within Magalu's cloud, and we also acquired, you know, content companies, content portals to increase our base of advertisers in the monetization of our audience, in addition to all of the other acquisitions to diversify into other categories. Today, I mean, we acquired Netshoes, and they are leaders of sporting goods in Brazilian online industry, so they are very large in Latin America. And also, we have leaders in peripherals, a product that is totally different from our core business, but it is complementary. I mean, and then we have a delivery company. It's not in São Paulo and Rio, but they are one of the largest players in Brazil, the second largest in terms of food delivery in Brazil. And Época Cosméticos, Época is one of the leaders in the cosmetic industry in Brazil. All of this helped us to diversify our sources of results or our earning streams. And we were also able to shield the company from collateral effects. We will be less cyclical. And why am I bringing this subject? I'm doing this because the result of this fourth quarter, or this third quarter, I mean, is very relevant because it gives us some very sound financial KPIs, and this really justifies and is a testament to the success of our strategy. The third quarter of 2024 is the fourth consecutive quarter of profits, despite the fact that the Selic rate is quite high. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, an operation like that of Magalu, I mean, the traditional Magalu operation, would be almost impossible for us to deliver profits at the level that we have today. So the results for the third quarter, I mean, the fourth quarter, also will post positive results, regardless of the fact that Selic rate is high. I mean, our our bottom line, our results are less volatile and more robust. We are reducing our beta, and we are just ratifying that at the end of the strategic cycle, that will be over next year, there are still new things that will be incorporated to our results in our P&L next year, and I'm certain that this will show our investors and our stakeholders in general that this cycle is equally successful when compared to the first cycle. It's just as successful. And I think now we have to improve our EBITDA margin from 5 to 8%. We want to reduce financial expenses by 20%. We want to grow our operating expenses by 47%. This is how much we grew this quarter. And net income of 70 million BRLs, despite all of the bad signs from the central bank. Our financial expenses is not tied to Selic. It's tied to future, you know, interest rates. So it already really reflects a pessimism in the market. And we are even considering a higher Selic than that of the quarter. Therefore, this is a number that just ratifies that all of the efforts by the company in terms of making that a strategic move, the fact that we are working hard to reap the benefits, makes us certain that next year we will prove that the company is on the right track to execute another strategic cycle. And this will certainly makes us less cyclical, not totally, you know, uncycled, but we will be less volatile. Now, speaking still about the third quarter of the year, I would just like to underscore that even though there was a 5.7 to 8 increase in EBITDA in the quarter, we were able to grow our total GMV by 7%, and we reached 15 billion BRLs of GMV when we took over in 2015. We had 10 billion GMV a year, and now it's 15 billion. With a 70% stake coming from online. And in online itself, we have 40% penetration of marketplace. Almost half of our online is already in marketplace. We have three very balanced GMV physical stores, you know, 1P and 3P. I often say that my strategy never means, you know, creating something new by destroying the past. When we made 1P, we continued to grow our stores. When we got the company, the revenue from physical stores of Magali was 8 billion, and this year we are reaching 20 billion. We grew 1P not in detriment of the physical stores, and 3P, we are not growing in detriment of 1P or physical stores. It's always one brick after the next, on top of the next, so that all the channels are totally integrating. We are not cannibalizing the channels. One of the highlights of this quarter, once again, please, next slide, was the growth of physical stores. Physical stores or brick and mortar stores are very much related to the macroeconomic activity. When GDP is strong, physical stores have a good performance. When GDP is not going so well, the same thing happens to physical stores or brick and mortar stores. So this year, our same store sales was 15%. I think this is the highest same store sales growth of any other retail company in the country. This is an exceptional number. Even retail stores that do not grant credit, but very few retailers are posting growth of this magnitude. And the macroeconomic situation also has an impact. You know, the GDP, I think, would end the year with 3%, very low unemployment, historically very low. There is a large number of people that can now afford to make their purchases. Magalu is more focused on the lower bracket of the population, but also our operating teams are focused on gaining market share. So not only we have the economic macro scenario, but Magalu, despite all that, is gaining market share in our physical stores as well. Many companies were struggling. They left the categories or they even disappeared, you know, both regional players and larger companies. And this gives room for other operators that have more capital, they're better infrastructure. I mean, every time during all this period, we kept investing in our stores, our teams, and we managed to capture the good momentum of physical retail. Whenever there is a hiccup in the physical store, I mean, I would like to remind you that physical stores play a very important role because there is, you know, great traffic in the stores. Not only that, but this also opens greater possibilities from omni-channel. So 1P is even shipped from the store, and also 20% in 3P. So multi-channel is a competitive differential of our online operation. It's not something isolated. Now, speaking about e-commerce, Magalu, and I like to split the e-commerce market in three different ticket brackets. I'm talking about the e-commerce market as a whole. And Magalu is a leader in tickets above 1,000 BRLs. Magalu is leader, you know, in higher ticket amounts and brand products. We have a very outstanding position in home appliances with a good share of our suppliers going from 25 to even 30%. So Magalu has great leadership in durable goods. And this is depicted here, both in 1P and 3P in our online operation. When consumers want to buy a good product from a good brand that is not fake, they certainly trust Magalu. And Magalu is a firm destination when it comes to purchasing, you know, household appliances. We want to grow our revenue of products between, you know, 200 to 1,000. That's an intermediary bracket. And one of the strategies that we're using involves the acquisition of networks like Kabum, Netshoes, Epica Cosméticos. We grew these operations as well. And today, everything that I say that is not stoves, you know, flat screen TVs, etc., they already account for half of our online GMV. We have a very outstanding presence with suppliers like Adidas, L'Oreal, and Dell computers and components, and many other important brand operators. In addition to the acquisitions we made early last year, and I would like to insist on that, we launched a different fulfillment. We launched the fulfillment, which is multi-channel. And the main purpose of this fulfillment was to bring into 3P the same advantages of the multi-channel system that made us so successful with 1P. It took a little bit longer because it's much easier for you to have a 3P fulfillment only than take a system of 1P stores and WPMS or PMS of these systems and adapt it to 3P. Our tech teams put a lot of efforts to allow our DCs to operate goods from Magalu, but also from several other third-party sellers. And this requires enormous effort to customize legacy systems. But we were able to do that very successfully. In the first quarter of last year, we launched that. And today, 24% of all 3P orders go through our fulfillment. The major advantage of our fulfillment model, and I think this has to be well understood, is that it's much cheaper than the market fulfillment traditionally. So even though we were investing in expanding Magalu's fulfillment, there was, I mean, a lot of operating leverage, but not a lot of increase in operating expenses. And Beto will talk about that. Our SG&A, I mean, is still good, even though we increase the penetration of fulfillment in the company. I mean, the seller, in terms of Magalu's fulfillment, goes through an amazing improvement in terms of performance. The average time drops almost half, and freight is also significantly reduced. There is a reduction of approximately 20% of the total cost because, you know, store pickup is much cheaper. So that's why the cost goes down. And this generates a conversion rate that is twice as high. And NPS is also higher. So the focus of the company was to to not to prioritize some things, especially, you know, delivery from partners. It brings a lower NPS for the company, and then we are focusing on our own fulfillment with, you know, click and collect. We enable new DCs. Yesterday, I just visited our operation in Pernambuco. It used to be a Netshoes DC, and now is Magalu's DC. We just enabled also our DC in Rio, so we will do fulfillment from Rio. There is great idleness in that DC, but I'm sure we will be able to reduce a lot of delivery time in Rio. We have products from sellers in that location, and we increased fulfillment, and fulfillment has high NPS, 154% in the first 9 months of the year vis-a-vis the rest of the year. And the other modalities, there was a drop in the first initial months of the year. So we are focused on sales with low lock-in and low NPS. So part of the strategy of the company is in focusing on growing this fulfillment. And then when we look at how this impacts the numbers, and we are disclosing the numbers to you, we see that the company's NPS as a whole, I mean, grew a lot. It went from 67 to 80. The consolidated NPS, I mean, it is certainly the highest in the industry, in the country. Customers that buy at Magalu, they are extremely pleased and satisfied. That was a major improvement that we achieved this year. And great part of that comes from 3P. Once we migrated the partners to 3P, the NPS from 3P was 50 2 years ago, and today is 75. And more than half of the orders come from 3P, and also the NPS surveys come from 3P. The whole average of the company jumped to 80. I mean, the pay in stores operation was 84, but as fulfillment increases penetration in the group, we will certainly improve that score as well. There are some new things coming this year, like now, even the client that buys through 3P, they will be able to return the product in our physical stores and also other, you know, share stores. So we already have a high penetration of store pickup, but now there is a new modality, because in the past they had to return their products in the post office, but now they can return their products in our physical stores. So this really, you know, increases our multi-channel operation. So this is something very important. This goes beyond price discounts, because our customers trust the brand, the Magalu brand. Our qualitative indicators are quite high, and that's what allows me to trust that we will grow the company even more in the future, because our service level with our clients is increasing. Now, speaking about very low tickets, below 20 BRLs, in addition to the fulfillment thing that I mentioned to you, I was trying to find a way to have a more relevant share in certain categories. We had a difficulty to operate in tickets below 20 reais. We were trying to make that operation more feasible, and we went looking around for more strategic partnerships, and then we made a strategic alliance. We discussed several possibilities, but in this past year, we became very closer to one of the largest global e-commerces, which is Alibaba International. They have an international arm, and so they have the brand AliExpress. We made a strategic agreement. It's a win-win deal. The two companies are complementary. We sell what they don't sell, and vice versa. Together with other Chinese companies, they are leaders in selling, you know, tickets below 200 BRL. So they dominated this category in Brazil. So I said, okay, if we cannot, you know, win them, why don't we become partners? And they also needed, you know, a partner that could sell products with a higher ticket. So this is a win-win deal. We would include their entire catalog. They have more than 600,000 items, and now they are present in our digital channels. In less than 4 months after the announcement of this partnership at the end of June. And we already listed all of our more than 7,000 items in that 1P in AliExpress platform. So we have, they have our Magalu 1P products in their own platform. And just 2 weeks ago, we launched the Choice line in our Magalu system. So now we are showing great progress in this partnership. Strategically, this is very good for us because not only we can grow 1P with the audience of AliExpress in Brazil, because that's one third of that of Magalu, but also our 1P will also benefit from this partnership. At the same time, we will be able to sell products, you know, with a ticket below 200 BRLs, and we will definitely be part of this new game in Brazil. And this will also give our clients, you know, a much broader spectrum of products. And so in the fourth quarter, we have high expectations because there are very good signs from the first initial months of this partnership. So certainly, so we're moving in this direction. Now, moving forward and talking about the evolution of our ecosystem, one of the issues is when you put together a strategy to create an ecosystem, right at the beginning, you encounter some operating difficulties. You buy a lot of companies, you have to integrate the companies, you have to integrate cultures, leadership, and systems. And we made incredible progress in the last few years. And I think one important thing was to the introduction of Megalog. We announced that a few weeks ago. We have 5 different, you know, company, you know, taxpayer. We had 5 different taxpayer numbers for companies. I mean, and now we put everything into one single company. And this Megalog is serving this entire delivery ecosystem. Magalog delivers Netshoes. We also deliver almost everything from the app. And part of the 3P operation is being delivered by Magalog, which is already integrated in our ecosystem. And now it became a company. Magalog stems from our acquisitions and the spin-off of our logistics department. We created a new company that will generate revenue for the company. And it will generate results with very little competition. I mean, the post office, the postal service still have some issues. And I think Magalog will be in a very privileged position. Magalog starts with, you know, an amazing revenue, things that were even coming from outside the ecosystem. Renner, Centauro, Petlog, and many other companies in Brazil trust Magalog because Magalog operates logistics with the service level that we have at Magalu and with Magalu's cost control. So I think it already starts being very robust from the beginning. We can access the entire ecosystem, and also we can sell to other companies. Not only that, this is a very good opportunity to increase our revenues. We do not anticipate an astronomic profit coming from Magalog, but I think this will help us turn a center of expenses into a center of results or revenue. Magalog is here to simplify this ecosystem. And I think another important pillar of our ecosystem is Magalu Ads. Today, I mean, it's good to remember that whenever we talk about Magalu, we have to consider the entire ecosystem, not only Magalu's audience, which is very high, but we have to consider a very high audience from, you know, footwear in Brazil, Netshoes, and then cosmetics, Época, a high audience in terms of content, and that's the tech and job in Dutch. And so we also have the flow or traffic from the stores. So all of the audience of Magalu on and offline will be put available to all of our advertisers through Magalu Ads. It's almost like a no-brainer here. When we look at the growth of Magalu Ads, I mean, media, social media, it's an important reality all over the world. I mean, 5% of GMV in ads, well, we have more than 6%. Even companies that started earlier, like 1% or 2% of GMV in ads, almost all companies that enter in a journey of retail media see a significant improvement in their results. I mean, I mean, 2 points of GMV, a great contribution margin. We are, when we talk about that, we are talking about one additional EBITDA point. So the company is putting great effort in this, you know, new platform. Part of this investment will be, of our investments, will be earmarked for Magalu Ads. In this quarter, we just launched our new ads platform. And this allows advertisers to introduce new campaigns. They can have a much more robust model. They can add a campaign with a keyword. So not only that, but we have to mention usability. We launched this platform 2 weeks ago, and we already have 3,000 active advertisers. So this is a platform that is generating 48% of revenue in terms of our service revenue. And this will pay an important contribution in the future as well. We have, you know, a state-of-the-art team. We have outstanding commercial team being managed by Celia Goldsteiner. So the audience is quite significant. In addition to all of Magalu's audiences, we are leaders in social media, 20 million followers. We are monetizing on Lu. Lu is getting money from advertisers. She was just hired by Burger King to be you know, an influencer through WhatsApp. So whatever we can monetize out of our GMV, we will do so. And we are also focusing on Magalu Ads, because with the results from Magalog and Magalu Ads, we want to have a less cyclical results. We want to reduce our beta. We are heading towards a full monetization of our GMV, which is the focus of this new strategic cycle. So in this concept of high interest rates, we want to monetize GMV. Not only Magalu is doing that, but everybody else in the industry is doing the same thing. So before I turn the floor to Beto, I would just like to highlight our progress, which has been extremely outstanding in terms of our financial operation. We are making important progress. We are very close to Itaú's ROI. We are growing a lot, more than 18% ROI in the quarter, with a trend to grow even more towards the fourth quarter. Regardless, once again, of the economic landscape that we have at the moment, and we also see an amazing opportunity to grow our penetration of financial products in the digital platform. It's very strong offline. It's offline for 1/3 of our GMV, you know, physical stores, but it's not yet totally penetrated in 1/3 of our GMV, which is online. So a great focus of our digital operation is towards selling more financial products, loans, and insurance products online, where penetration is still low. The insurance business, for instance, I mean, our revenue is 1.5 billion through physical stores, but penetration in stores is 10 times higher than online penetration. So the focus is to increase penetration of insurance products online. And in terms of credit, we have a large operation of CDC. Everybody likes to talk about that offline. And we are launching what we call Carnezinho Gostoso. It's a digital CDC totally integrated to the app. This quarter, we personalized rates. You know, you can hire that online, and you do all of the management through the Magalu app. And this will help us sell more online. And in addition to that, we will be leaders in higher tickets, because the digital, you know, CDC or DCC will help us increase our online ticket, and we will increase our online contribution margins as well. Contribution margin online are higher than online 1P. So we want to increase penetration of consumer credit, digital consumer credit, and our focus will be better and will be more robust. So the last thing I wanted to mention was Magalu Bank. And with that, you know, we just gave you an overview of the progress that we are making in the strategic evolution of our ecosystem. So now I'll turn the floor to Roberto to give you some of our financial highlights.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today in our earnings release presentation. I would like to briefly go over the financial highlights. Again, we reached 15.5 billion in total sales in the quarter. We posted a 4% growth. The highlight is the amazing growth in physical stores, especially we grew 15% same-store sales. And then we talked about the growth of our gross margin. This quarter, we reached 30.4% of gross margin. It's the highest in many years, and this reflects our efforts in terms of product margins and service margins as well. And again, we reached an EBITDA of over 700 million with 8% growth in the quarter. Year to date, we have almost 3 billion EBITDA, 3.9 billion. And year on year, about 40 to 50% growth. So this means that we are posting very robust results. And once again, we reach a recurring net income, adjusted net income of 70 million BRLs, considering CDI and a very high Selic rate. And our accounting net income published was 102 million, meaning that the non-recurring results were positive, which also helped us to increase our recurring net income by over 30 million BRLs. This quarter, we didn't have any non-recurring expenses. There was no relevant adjustments in EBITDA. We had other positive non-recurring results in the PL line, and income. Our operating cash was almost 600 million BRLs, so operating cash generation, you know, total cash was 6.6 billion, you know, total cash. And this cash generation, in fact, reflects a high conversion between EBITDA and the cash flow of the operations, as we will mention in the next slides. This next slide refers to the sequential evolution of EBITDA. EBITDA margin grew quarter on quarter, and the highlight goes to the gross merchandise margin after default pass-through in 1P. This quarter, we reduce our operating expenses, especially, you know, fixed sales, fixed costs. We made progress in the service revenue. We talked about fulfillment already. We talked about the growth of physical stores and also high profitability coming from Luizacred. In this next slide, we show how the EBITDA margin went from 5.7 to 8, an increase of 2.3 percentage points. In terms of gross margin, there was an increase of 1.1 percentage points, with the highlight going to merchandise margin, which also reached a record level, reaching 24% for product margin, and with a service contribution also reaching a high level. So the gross margin goes to 31.5%. This quarter, we were able to dilute our SG&A. Not only were we able to reduce sales expenses, but also general and admin expenses. Here, we had a dilution through operating leverage because we grew two digits. This growth came from physical stores, but we also had gains of efficiencies in the physical stores. Today, our operating expenses in the stores is much more efficient and lean. Not only that, SG&A is much lower when compared to last year, because that included the review of all contracts, you know, ZBB, you know, zero-based budget, and everything else we did last year. So SG&A is nominally lower than last year by almost 20 million BRL per quarter. Next, we had a very positive contribution. I mean, go back one slide, please. Luizacred, during some time, was reducing our EBITDA margin, but this year is now paying a positive contribution to our EBITDA margin of 0.3 percentage points. And here, you know, ALL, this is associated to our consumer credit portfolio that is growing at a high pace, and this is helping us grow the gross margin for products. Next slide, we show that in terms of working capital, we generated more than 100 million in cash. So there was an evolution, a sequential evolution in working capital. When we look at last year, I think it's worth mentioning a reduction of 500 million BRL in inventory amount, and this improved our inventory turnover. And next, we show reductions in financial expenses. This quarter, our financial expenses were 100 million lower year-on-year. We reached a percentage of expenses over net revenue of 4% when compared to EBITDA of around 8%, meaning that, I mean, we've been saying that one of the main leverage indicators that we pursue is this one. So this quarter, our financial expenses over EBITDA reached 50%, and a year ago, this was over 90%. Therefore, this shows an impressive operating deleveraging, and the trend is that we will continue to reduce our financial expenses going forward. All of this reduction has to do with interest rates, but even more than a drop in interest rates, because now it is increasing again, we paid 3 billion in debt this year. We reduce interest rates over loans, you know, prepayment of receivables. We increase peak sales, you know, interest-bearing sales, et cetera, and we bought back debentures in the secondary market this quarter. We already bought back more than 100 million BRL of debentures in the secondary market. Next slide, here we have our cash flow analysis. We went from 6.5 billion to 6.6 billion. I mean, there is some rounding figures here, but we increased our total cash position by 160 million BRL. And this increase is very much related to the profits in the quarter, but plus the evolution in our working capital. So when we break it down into details, the cash generation of the operations of approximately 600 million is way above our investments in our CapEx, you know, line. And also, this refers to payment of interest rates and leasing, and these are recurring things. In the middle of the chart, we show that we had a capital increase for Luizacred of 300 million. We bought back debt of 100 million, and funding was 400 million. These three events were non-recurring, and they, one mitigates the other, and what remains is the cash flow of the operations, which generates an exceeding cash flow, which is higher than the cash requirements of the quarter. In this next slide, we show that this cash flow from the operations in the past 12 months is stands at 2.4 million, very similar to the accumulated EBITDA. And I would just like to remind you that this is based on an EBITDA, but it is already deducts all of the costs from prepayment receivables. And one of our focus is to have a operating cash flow that is as close as possible to EBITDA. In this case, we reached one of the highest levels in our history, and with that, we also increase our net cash evolution by more than 1 billion in the last 12 months. In this next slide, we show our capital structure. It is very clear that we have 6.6 billion BRL, and of that, 4.8 billion is receivables, I mean net receivables and net because of prepayment, and 1.8 billion in net cash and investments. On the liability side, we have 4.8 billion in gross debt. Basically here, if we were to discount all the receivables and if we were to pay all of our debt, we would have 1.8 billion in net cash. I would just like to remind you that this 4.8 billion of gross debt will mature at the end of next year and the end of 2026. Now, speaking a little bit more about Luizacred, we posted yet another quarter of excellent results. We show here that delinquency is dropping, NPS over delinquency over 90 days is better. We have short-term delinquency at 2.8%, the lowest level in our history. There was an increase in the coverage ratio from 140% to 100%, and this reflects, you know, our conservative position in terms of our provisions. Even being this conservative at Luizacred, I mean, just as Magalu, we posted four consecutive quarters of net income, and our results reached 66 million this quarter. We show a trend to grow this result further in the fourth quarter, and that's why we see an evolution trend of ROE that it has been 18% in the last quarter, and now we will supersede 20% in the coming quarters. I would just like to highlight that Luizacred also had a very high efficiency rating, below 30%, about 28%. Interest expenses is dropping. The company is well capitalized. Our BIS ratio is very comfortable, and the company is well prepared to resume growth and to grow the number of clients, you know, the loan portfolio, and to post excellent results in the coming quarters. With that, we conclude the presentation with the main highlights, and we will start the Q&A session.
We'll now start the Q&A session. To ask questions, click on the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Type in your name, company, and language of the question to join the queue. When you are announced, a prompt to activate your microphone will appear on the screen, and then you must activate your microphone to proceed with the question. Our first question comes from Luiz Guanais, BTG. Please, Luiz, go ahead.
Good morning, Vanessa, Fred, and Beto. I have two questions. First, I would like you to comment on the initiatives in which you still see room for expanding profitability. I think you made a good point about ads, Fred. Now, if you could give us a little bit more color on the growth expectations of these initiatives for the next few years, it would be great. The second question related to this first one is that looking at 3P specifically, what do you think are the main drivers for acceleration over the next quarters? Now here, considering initiatives such as fulfillment, but also categories where you see a greater potential. That's it. Thank you.
Good morning, Guanais. Thank you very much for your questions. About margin expansion, I already talked about it. The point of view of the company's core and merchandise margin, the current level of 3P pricing on merchandise and the take rate, I believe that we are practically at the ceiling, except for fulfillment, which we are not monetized yet. For the time being the cost for us marginal, and I don't know for heavier products here, but I think there is a big opportunity to improve that. Anyway, we're very close to the ceiling here. Having said that, we have huge opportunities to increase Magalu's consolidated margin.
I would say that the two main ones I already mentioned, but I will reiterate. The first one is Magalu Ads. The ads market in Brazil is worth 75 billion reals. I believe the online market represents 30 billion reals. Almost all of it is a search-based market. And search is the great load of the Brazilian market. In the US, just to give you an idea, search is a $300 billion business. Google alone makes almost $300 billion in the US. And what we see as a trend all over the world is that part of the search and ads markets is going to retail, because operations such as Magalu and other operations that have a strong digital customer base have taken advantage of the space to monetize. So there are more than 50 million people visiting our apps every month. All the apps in the Magalu ecosystem. We have over 430 million visits across all our digital channels every month. And we have low single-digit conversions. Therefore, we can monetize much more of this audience that we build. And part of this audience is the investment we make to bring in an audience. So we can monetize it and monetize it much better. It is very common to see operations that started their ads platform more than a year ago. Amazon, 6 percentage points, and Flipkart, which is a company very similar to Magalu in India in terms of average ticket and 1P share and high tickets to Flipkart, is very similar to Magalu's app, except that they don't have physical stores, which is something that makes us different. But it's a similar operation in terms of purchase frequency and average ticket. We have 5 percentage points of total GMV in ads. If we have an unsuccessful agenda with 2 percentage points, that is not really unsuccessful, reasonably successful, because it has to be an incremental value and we cannot cannibalize the rest. So 2 points, absolutely incremental. I think that's a reasonably successful goal. So I believe that with 70% contribution, this alone could increase EBITDA by 1%. This is not a guidance. It's an account based on what other companies are already doing in the world. Amazon in the US already has 50% of revenues or more than 25% of search revenues already belong to them. So this is, I consider, a reasonably successful agenda in ads. I think that's what we are focused on, and it's one of the big contributors to us to improve our margin. We can decide tomorrow if we are going to take that margin and invest in the growth of the business or not, but that's another story. I'll come back to that a little later. I believe that in the short term, increasing the penetration of DCC, direct consumer credit, and online insurance is a low-hanging fruit agenda. Online penetration, around a tenth of an online penetration. If we manage to reduce this penetration gap, and we have a very strong focus from Magalu Bank teams to reduce this gap, these are all 50% contribution margin businesses. So an increase in penetration here will also pose a significant potential to improve consolidated EBITDA at Magalu Bank. It's a no-brainer. We are focusing on this since we increased the capital in the beginning of the year. You can see what we talked about in terms of investments in fintechs to increase the share of online platforms, investments in the ads platform, investments in logistics as well with Magalog. That is very clear. And of course, this is a long-term agenda now with the Magalu Cloud. In Brazil, we have a cloud business that is reaching $90 billion, even bigger than the ads business in Brazil. And it is a business for the few, because the cost of the public clouds that are operating in Brazil is dollar-denominated. They are already becoming expensive, especially for medium and small companies, and even for Magalu. Therefore, our idea was to invest so that we could contain our own cost growth in the cloud, which is in the hundreds of millions of reals. We are reaching almost half of our workloads in our own cloud. And we see here also a great opportunity in the future, not in the short term, but it's something for us to improve and have a market share in this business, which also tends to have positive margins when we look forward. Only remember that I say that the Brazilian market will have room for the Ferraris, which are the foreign clouds, but it will also have its Toyota, its Honda here in Brazil. And I believe that's going to be our Magalu cloud. It's good value for the money. We will be very well positioned, and I am optimistic in the long term about Magalu's cloud contribution to our EBITDA. Now, talking about 3P, I usually say that 3P today is almost like child labor. This is an inside joke here because it should be going to school to help pay the bills. And right now we are at a time in Brazil where we have a high operating cost, a high cost of capital. There are high financial expenses because interest rates are high. There are high operating costs because taxes are rising. And everyone must chip in to pay the bills. So 3P at the moment, even if it were another macroeconomic context, we would be investing a little more in it in the sense of operating it with lower margins. But today it is operating with extremely high margins. I could make a decision to go 3P, but today it already contributes significantly to our EBITDA. A significant part of the company's EBITDA is generated by 3P, which has a very high contribution margin. What for? To pay for financial expenses in this economic context. This is a very responsible decision from the company. Considering the macroeconomic scenario we are going through, therefore, all the channels have to contribute as much as possible to the company's margins. This is the most correct tactical and strategic long-term decision for the company because it's not only short-term, it's to monetize its GMV. Whenever I've grown 1P, it has grown with high margins and contribution. And now 3P has to learn how to operate with high margins as well. And in the point of view with growth, we have the expansion of fulfillment. The more the fulfill expands, and I showed you the conversion rate, the service level, we can grow with a high lock-in in GMV. And I am not prioritizing the partner shipping GMV. We're giving fewer and fewer subsidies to partner shipping GMV. So as our share in the fulfillment increases, we'll be increasing the number of ads on our pages, which are very competitive in relation to the market, and even more competitive because we have a multi-channel fulfillment. Customers will have the option of picking up in the store cheaply. Therefore, I believe that this partnership that I have already mentioned with Alibaba also will represent help and growth, both for 1P as well as 3P. But I strongly emphasize that right now we are focused on monetizing GMV, on growing our operating profit and our LIR in absolute terms, and not necessarily on a very accelerated growth in the company's GMV. This is the company's focus, and it has been that since the beginning of the year. That's a consistent strategy. I am convinced that this is the right strategy for Magalu and that will bring more results to the shareholders as well. That's excellent, Fred. Thank you very much for your answers. Luis, thank you very much for your questions. Our next one comes from Itaú, from Vitor Rogatis. Rogatis, go ahead, please. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Fred, and all of the Magalu team. I have two questions. The first is about the digital direct consumer credit, DCC. I would like to do a follow-up and understand your expectations regarding the potential for this portfolio next year. My second question is related to physical stores credit assignment. What do you foresee for credit assignments in physical stores over the next quarters vis-a-vis an expectation of double-digit interest rates for next year? Is the idea here to accelerate this credit assignment or maintain it flat? Thank you. Good morning, Victor. Thank you very much for your question. I'll talk about it. First, about the digital DCC. We launched the pilot in August. It is very recent, But so far, the results have been very positive. Throughout September and October, we expanded the audience eligible to our digital DCC, sales, the number of contracts, clients, all of that is growing every day. We are very happy about the performance of this product. For the time being, we are basically focusing on pre-approved customers only. We have tens of millions of customers already pre-approved for our digital DCC, and we are targeting this audience, which is a lower risk audience. The platform is very user-friendly. As Fred said, the interest rates are personalized, the whole operation contracting. It's a fully digital experience within our app. Of course, there are improvements to be made. We are developing the product, communications, promotions, marketing, everything else. So I would say that the potential is great. We know that in Brazil, there is a huge demand for credit. And we are growing. We are evolving. And at the right time, we will start sharing the figures with you guys. For now, we are in a very interesting process of development, learning, and growth. And as Fred mentioned, this is a product that has a high profitability. Now, turning to the second part of your question, Victor, about physical stores. At the stores, this product has always had a very high profitability. It's a product with a very high EBITDA margin. We do have a very competitive interest rates, but it is the nature of this product to have higher interest rates. Therefore, it allows us to have a higher profitability. And the stores, we have grown the portfolio in the last 1 or 2 years, even in the wake of the reduction in the approval rate for credit card operations, which has to have a more conservative approval rate because interest rates are often lower or the sales are even interest-free. So unlike DCC, you can have a more flexible approval rate once the operation has low costs and is already born with high interest rates and the customer doesn't have any leverage outside Magalu. It's a different operation. When Luiza Credit reduced the approval rate, clients that used to have a credit card, then we started giving them an ADCC. Therefore, we brought in a audience with a low-risk profile to the DCC, even improving the profitability of that portfolio and growing it and growing sales and also growing DCC portfolio in physical stores. Today, we want to continue growing both products, each one with its own audience. We want to accelerate the growth of credit cards, and we've seen in the recent months sales of new cards above the level of cancellations, which also has decreased due to lower delinquencies. So in the last few months, we've seen a credit card customer base performing, growing a customer base, portfolio sales, and everything else for an audience with very low delinquency. Here we are talking about delinquency KPIs in the first months of just 3% overdue. And an audience with delinquency a little above this level up to our DCC limit. We are also growing there and we aim to continue expanding this portfolio offline and online, always with a very positive contribution margin, favoring a better profitability of the ecosystem as a whole. I believe that we have covered your questions, Victor. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for your questions, Nogás. Our next question comes from Gustavo Sende from XP. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two of them. The first concerns the partnership with AliExpress. I know it's recent, but if you could share some preliminary indicators, volume of traffic, engagement metrics for your customers between the platforms. That would be very interesting. And my second question is in regards to working capital, especially when you look at inventory. I just would like to understand if your current level of inventory can face the seasonality of the fourth quarter, which is very strong. We have seen some suppliers talking about supply problems with the drought in Manaus and some more expensive freight there. So I would like to understand a little bit more about the working capital and inventory. Good morning. Thank you very much for your questions. I'll answer the first one and then I'll turn to Fabricio to talk about working capital. About AliExpress, as I said, we started the first marketplace out operation, which is the sale of our products in AliExpress. There's a huge complexity to the integration involved here, and we started this operation at the beginning of September. And this operation took about 30 days for us to get the catalog up and running, to get pricing, shipping, adjust our catalog to Ali's platform. After these initial 30 days of a lot of learning in October already, the operation got a lot of traction. And in fact, it is already very close to the metrics that we have in our business plan. Therefore, we are quite comfortable here about this development, and we already foresee great progress for this business. I believe it tends to be very positive for Black Friday, considering that this is a type of category that is very popular on Black Fridays. In addition to the audiences we already have on Magalu, we also have AliExpress's audience to sell our products. And for them, it's great as well. This is an important strategic move for AliExpress to work with us. About the marketplace in, right now we are focusing on bringing in the catalog. Just last week, we reached 600,000 items in our platform. And that is already contributing to our platform metrics, visits, activation, number of items sold. We are still learning how to post taxes. We still are adding freight to the value of the goods. And our API and the developments and integration will later on remove freight from the value of the products and have it separate. But I'm very happy. I'm pleased about this moment. I'm sure that it will scale up in November and December, and it will reach the same level of success of the out, and we'll have a very balanced win-win partnership. There is a possibility in both cases of Magalog being integrated today in the out. Just to give you an idea, it is as if all the sales that I make in AliExpress are coming out of São Paulo. I was not able to add the other DCs yet, in which I have 1P, so that we can have faster freight to the Northeast. The way the platform works right now, our out had to be centralized in a single operation. But ideally, as it is the case of Magalog, that when you're in the Northeast, you have a product in the Northeast, you're going to receive the product in the Northeast with a shorter lead time. We tend to improve that. And AliExpress selling here, there's a number of improvements to be made on how to post taxes and freight. And I think the most important of them, which is a cycle that we will be discussing in the future, is a Magalog itself working on the last mile of delivery. Today, AliExpress sales basically rely on the post office. So there is a great possibility that we can greatly optimize this operation with Magalog. I see that all with a lot of optimism. Teams are motivated, working well. And we have a great interaction with the teams, both here in Brazil and AliExpress in China. It is a very positive mood. Everyone is happy about managing that type of complex operation in such a short period of time. And this is a very innovative deal of global relevance, and it has everything to work out very well for both companies. And I think it will. Good morning, Gustavo. Thanks for your question. This is Fabricio speaking. About inventories, last year we really had a problem with the drought in the Manaus River. But for this year, we knew that this was going to happen again. And we knew that the drought was going to be tough. We planned ourselves very well with all the suppliers. We increased our inventory levels and the most critical products throughout the quarter. The suppliers themselves brought more inventory to São Paulo before the drought. So we are very well programmed here, not only in these categories that involves the problem with the river, but in all of the other categories. We are doing well to get through the end of the year and to start the beginning of the year as well, because we have a fantastic sales in January as well. So I believe we are fine in terms of inventory levels. That's very clear. Thank you. Thank you for your questions, and I next question from Irma, Goldman Sachs. Please, Irma, go ahead. Hello, good morning. I just would like to go back to the question regarding that balance between profitability in digital or profitability as a whole and digital growth. I understand that from next year onwards, you may grow a little bit more in digital. And I think you've addressed very well all the additional monetization levers that are yet to come. But I would like to understand your mindset regarding the balance between accepting that when the digital starts growing a little bit more, that maybe will bring the consolidated margin down, but in the absolute growth of the EBITDA, that can be still positive. And obviously, that also will allow you to maintain your online position in the Brazilian market that still has so much to grow. I would like to go over that to understand your mindset. On the other hand, Magalu Ads, it's great to see the growth of this area. Can you tell me what kind of seller is adopting that the best and is adopting Magalu Ads solutions, if there are specific categories involved, any kind of seller that is more prominent compared to others? Thank you. Good morning, Irma. Thank you very much for your question. Well, about this issue, we have not finalized next year's budget yet. Of course, we have already had preliminary discussions and conversations, but it's not official with the board. What I can tell you about it is this. Next year, it will be the last one of this strategic cycle. And I do not think that we have reached our ideal level of operating margins yet. I think we still need to grow, to develop, to turn our results even more Selic-proof or shielded. I believe that we need to evolve in all of these agendas that I mentioned. Some of them, such as the penetration of financial products online and penetration of ads itself, which are already at significant levels and important ones, but still with a significant potential to grow. Therefore, I am still focusing on continuing evolving our margins so that we can have an even greater conversion of EBITDA and LAIR. It is considering that scenario of high interest rates and even potential additional tax increases. I think it's difficult because I believe we have reached the ceiling, but I can tell you this, I will no longer be surprised with higher taxes, more taxes, and higher interest rates. We have seen that happening before. It did happen in 2021, and we are now continue to focus in increasing the monetization of our GMV. For now, I believe that the most correct decision, the best decision for the company is to continue expanding the monetization of our GMV. See, we are approaching 50 billion of GMV online. Magalu is the second player in the online market, and we have a very sound position in several categories. We are hard to be beat. So it's not that I am at a low scale, a small scale position. We already have a scale close to 50 billion GMV in the year to make money with it. I don't need to grow more to make money with it. I already have a very healthy, sound position. Netshoes already has that in sports. Epoca has that in beauty. Kaboom has that with its products. And so we need to show that at that level of scale, which again is one of the largest online operations in the world, we can make money. I am not willing to lower margins to grow more. I believe that the current economic scenario does not point to a drop in interest rates or to a reduction in taxes that would mean doing this in a safe and correct manner. Magalu's shareholders and debenturists depend on a positive cash cycle, a conversion of EBITDA in a liar. I have to think about all the stakeholders. And for me, the best decision in the long term, and this is not only tactics, is that we have to complete our strategic cycle, take our levels to even greater ones, work for that. And from that moment on, our next five-year cycle, and I haven't completed it yet. We can talk about it later. And that's going to be from 2026 onwards. And I am sure that getting to this strategic cycle with a sleek-proof result is the best decision for us right now. So that's my answer. I don't think I can add anything beyond that precisely because we have not finalized next year's budget yet. Very clear. Thank you very much. I would like to hear about YEDS. Hello, Irma. About the ads growth distribution, what I can say is that we already had a base of brands in our traditional core invested in ads. And what we see are brands and mainly sellers through our service platform. So now our platform is much easier for sellers to advertise. They don't need to understand about technical stuff. So we already see that turning into the number of sellers, the return of these sellers that is increasing, and the ticket made from these sellers is also higher. So in general, our platform is for brands, for suppliers, and for sellers. We are managing to scale where we had most gaps, and now in the brands to order and in the sellers mainly. Thank you. Thank you for your question, Irma. Our next question is from UBS, from Luca Biasi. Please, Luca, go ahead. Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two quick ones. First, about 1P. It would be very interesting to hear from you the performance per category now in the third quarter. Which were the categories that had a best performance that stood out? And the second question is about the cloud. I would like to know an update on how the customer base has evolved. Thank you. Hello, Luca. This is Fabrício. For the 1P categories, we had a balanced quarter. We performed well in practically all of our core 1P categories. I would highlight here the white line and furniture. We managed to achieve good growth in computing, and we could recover that. That's very relevant for us. And the category that is being more difficult for us in terms of the market is dropping, it was the smartphones, but now we had the best quarter in the year in that category. It performed much better than it had been performing in the past. It did have a wonderful performance in the physical stores, a good performance online, and we expect to have an even better fourth quarter. So I would say that we performed well in almost all the categories, especially the ones that I mentioned, the white lines and furniture. And I would, again, highlight smartphones and IT. Hello, Luca, this is Fatala. Thanks for the question about evolution of the cloud. I would just like to go over it again. We are working in developing cloud products. We intended to launch all of them by the end of the year for the general audience. But in the second half of the year, we started to soft launch several of these products. We opened the cloud console so that any company or person could create their account and start experimenting. From that, we already saw a huge evolution in the customer base. Looking at corporate accounts, we talked a lot about those managed by the Magalu Cloud Commercial team, which was around 130 in the last quarter. We are already reaching 200 of these that are managed by our own team. And with the opening, we saw this number grow a lot. So now we have 513 corporate accounts. And also we have a great performance for software engineers, developers that are building, creating accounts and building some applications. This number, when we add the corporate accounts and developers and individuals, we already have more than 2,500 accounts created in the cloud. So even with this focus on product improvement, with the software being launched, the base is already growing. Now we have to get the feedback, continue improving and growing. And for next year, we'll look for a greater share of growth in the cloud base and revenue. We will then give you more details about the business. That's fine. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Luca, for the questions. Next question comes from Nicholas from JP Morgan. Please, Nico, go ahead. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, Fred and Beto. Most of the answers have already been given for my questions, but I would like to touch a little on working capital. I saw an interesting improvement in inventory. I would like to know if you see room to improve working capital now in the fourth quarter and in 2025. Thank you. Good morning, Nicholas, and thank you for your questions. I will comment. Fabrício has already talked about how well prepared we are in terms of inventory levels for the end of the year. We have been able to improve our inventory turnover. And when we look at our inventory position, we see that we are prepared. And even so, considering that we reduced inventories by 500 million compared to last year, we are improving in terms of inventory turnover when we analyze it on a monthly basis. Also, we are improving the average purchasing period with our suppliers, and we have a healthy inventory coverage ratio. I believe that when we think in the medium term and the long term, we'll continue pursuing this efficiency as we also continue growing and accelerating growth. Therefore, we'll have the opportunity to further improve inventory turnover. Without a doubt, this is one of our main goals regarding working capital management. And we will continue pursuing this operating efficiency. We do believe that inventory turnover will continue to improve in the coming quarters, maintaining a stable average purchasing period, which is already healthy. And in addition to this relationship between inventories and suppliers, it is also worth highlighting the monetization of taxes, the offsetting of taxes organically, turning this conversion of taxes recoverable into cash in a more accelerated fashion. In this third quarter, we monetized a little, and it was something between 50 and 100 million. In the fourth quarter, our expectations are much higher. This is the best quarter from the point of view of actually offsetting taxes, because we sell more, we generate more taxes to be paid, and then we are able to take advantage of the tax credits of taxes already paid. In the third quarter, inventories increased, therefore we paid more taxes in advance. In the fourth quarter, the dynamics tend to be opposite. We sell more, we offset more taxes, ICMS, PIS, and COFINS. So in this fourth quarter, we'll have a very positive cash generation, not only because of increased sales, but also because of a higher working capital. Again, thank you, Nicholas. Thank you, Beto, for answering the question. Thank you for your question, Nicholas. Next question is from Vitor from Santander. Please, Vitor, go ahead. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two. First is about the cycle. We are approaching the end of the second cycle, and you have a greater monetization of GMV and profitability. So I would like to understand what you're considering for this upcoming cycle. I know that is still being developed, but I would like to have an idea behind it. And then I also would like to know about your preparations for the fourth quarter. And I know that you are prepared in terms of inventories, but what about LuizaCred and credit assignment? I know you had a more conservative approach. I would like to hear you on that as well. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your question. It is very early to give you spoilers about the next cycle. But I will try to go over some of the main topics. Well, looking forward, I could say that the cloud is one of our pillars that tends to be more significant in the upcoming cycle. We just launched it now. I think it will be an important pillar. Considering technology here, we created an AI department under Fatala. And I see here a huge opportunity. I would like to talk a little bit about it because I've been in the e-commerce area for 24 years, perhaps one of the oldest in the market. And I have seen a number of trends and changes with the potential for tech disruption. And what I see now in AI, I have only seen two other times. And there were a lot of things in this period of time, metaverse, blockchain, relevant things that could be transformative, specifically for our business. And I saw digital itself in the 2000s when I decided to leave my job in São Paulo to set up Magalu's e-commerce in 2000. In 2010, more or less, I saw what was happening around mobility with the smartphones growth, as well as the apps and the app economy. So we were one of the first ones to invest in mobile and in the mobile version and the app itself. That was very relevant. And it also benefited us because we sell a lot of smartphones. A lot of the Brazilian smartphones were sold by Magalu. Anyway, I saw the transformation and the digital inclusion allowed by smartphones and what that represented in the e-commerce and several other segments. Several companies were created in the wake of the growth of smartphones. Companies like iFood, for instance, or Nubank itself. Several of them came up within this context, and mobility, of course. And the third, now with AI, artificial intelligence, I believe that we have everything we need in our hands here. We have Lu, and very few have agents like Lu. She is followed and she's loved by millions of Brazilians. And the main focus of our AI department is to give Lu a brain. We have millions of consumers talking to Lu on social media and also and Magalu's own WhatsApp channel. And I see that we do have a huge disruptive potential there. Lu is going to be a sales channel and not only a digital assistant or a digital influencer. I am convicted that artificial intelligence will be an important component of our business. And about the multi-channel in 3P, we are now at a level in fulfillment that is good, but my dream is to see the 3P product in the store. And I believe that in the Livraria Cultura store that we will launch next year, we'll be able to see brands in the stores, such as Época, Kabum. And my dream is to see the seller's products in the stores too. I believe that will further potentialize our store's offering. It will integrate 3P in a multi-channel, and it has a great level of integration. I think we can make a bigger offer and also have seller's products in physical stores. So these are just some spoilers, and I believe the second question Beto can answer himself. Good morning, Victor. About credit assignment, specifically towards the end of the year, we can say that we are very optimistic. LuizaCred became more conservative way back in 2021, beginning of 2022, and even throughout 2023. Now, at the margin, I believe that the trend is to have the approval rate gradually easing. In recent months, we have already seen an increase in the sale of new cards, as I mentioned, above the cancellation level. So the customer base is growing again. New cards are contributing more to revenue on a monthly basis. Also, we are managing to increase limits for older customers, even increase products within the cards, such as personal loans, etc. So the trend for LuizaCred and also the DCC, the Direct Consumer Credit, and stores is of growth, considering that it was very conservative in the last quarters, in the last years. What we see now is that it tends to return to normal as the macroeconomic scenario becomes more predictable. Also relevant is that in physical stores, the performance of same-store sales that we have had of double digits, 15% of same-store sales, that is at sale level of products that are financed by ourselves that is well below the historical level. On average, we used to finance practically 50% of sales in physical stores. Today, this level is between 35 and 40%. So both the card today, well, mainly the card today has a smaller share now than a few years ago. Therefore, there is room to gradually recover this ground, and this tends to improve sales. Now, once again, we wish to maintain margins, profitability, ROI of our DCC very high as well. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your answers. Thank you for your questions, Victor. Next question is from João Paulo Bradesco. Please, João, go ahead. Good morning, Fred, and the whole Magalu team. Thanks for taking my question. I would like to have a quick follow-up on the ads question from Irma. How do you feel about the maturity of the tech stack and ad solutions that you have today, and which are the main challenges you foresee in a potential expansion of adoption your ads platform when we look ahead? Which could be your main challenges ahead? Well, about the tech stack, I believe we have taken a very significant step now in October. which was implementation of a new platform with a great self-service quality. So I think this is already done. Now we have an opportunity to expand. First, we consolidated Magalu and we took value out of Magalu. Now the next step is to expand this to all other areas in the group. We have the other brands, publishers, tech companies, such as BigCommerce and grocery stores platforms. So the next frontier of our tech evolution is to expand it to the other areas in the group. That's great. Thank you. Thank you, João Paulo, for your question. Our next question comes from Andrew Rubin from Morgan Stanley. The question will be asked in English, but the answer will be given in Portuguese. Andrew, please go ahead. Andrew, I believe you are muted. Hello, Andrew. We are now closing the Q&A session. Now I would like to turn the floor back to Frederico Trajano for his final remarks. Please, Fred, go ahead. I would like to thank you all for being with us in this earnings call. Also, I would like to congratulate the entire Magalu team for the performance of the company's numbers, all the results, the hard work, and this strategic cycle. We did face a headwind in interest rates, and despite of that, we were able to have a very sound and real progress in our operations, and a very significant progress in the implementation of our strategic cycle. Congratulations to the whole team, and thank you all stakeholders. Good morning, have a great Friday, and a wonderful weekend. Magalu's earnings call is now ended. The investor relations team is available to take any further questions. We appreciate everyone's participation and have a nice day.